want you to understand that there is an agenda with this sermon series, okay? So last week we started our series entitled The Community, and we dealt with a few of the foundational principles of community. And we learned a working definition for community is a feeling of fellowship with others as a result of sharing common attitudes, interests, and goals. Now, just for a second, I want to deal with that definition. In fact, I would like to use this definition of community as a thermometer to gauge the climate of the unity community culture, okay? And when I say climate, I mean the overall mindset of our community. The definition says a feeling of fellowship. Let's stop right there. Now, I want to ask a very important question, and I want you to be honest, and I want you to put this question in your notes, amen? I want you to put this question in your notes because I believe it's going to help us. Question number one, do we have a fellowship or do we just have a get-together? And I'd ask real quickly that you excuse my pulpit etiquette, and I want to welcome all of our visitors that's here today at the Unity Worship Center. We are so glad to have you. We pray to have you back. And we want you to make sure that Sister Melinda, Sister Brenda, would you put your hands in there? Make sure if you didn't fill out a card, make sure you stop at the desk outside of the sanctuary and fill out your card so that we can give you your gift for coming and fellowshipping with us today. Amen. A feeling of fellowship. And the question number one is, do we have a fellowship or do we just have a get together? Now the word fellowship means a friendly association, especially with people who share one's interests. Again, let's use this working definition as a thermometer to gauge the climate of the unity culture. Question number two, are we, the Unity Worship Center, a friendly association? Are we, the Unity Worship Center, are we a friendly association? Are we kind to one another? And if the answer is, not really, or I can't really say, or I'm really not sure, then the answer is no. And I want you to put that down in your notes if the answer is yes or no. Amen? Now, ask yourself real quickly, I think it's question number three, because see, when I ask question number two, I could feel a hater spirit rise up. When I said, are we a friendly association, I could feel in my spirit some haters going, no, we ain't friendly, ain't nothing about us friendly. But it's always, to me, the ones that always got that mentality that I have to ask question number three. Question number three is, do you do your part in making unity a friendly association? Now, let me go ahead and shoot down some things that the Holy Spirit told me that I need to be shooting down. Some people, even when I asked that question number three, some people say, well, you know, I tried, but people don't talk to me, and I tried, but people got clicks, and I tried, but people don't. So let me ask you something. When Walmart didn't treat you right, did you stop going? So some of us stayed in relationships for years, not being done right, but you stayed with them. But the church don't pamper you and please you one or two times, and all of a sudden, you know, we ain't got no love, but you keep showing up. So you see, I want to combat these issues. I don't want to put anybody on Front Street. I don't want to make you feel any type of way. But what we've got to do is we've got to destroy all the madness that be in our minds that we harbor on the low so that we can get rid of all that mess so that we can be everything that it is that we're supposed to be. You understand what I'm saying to you? So Now, put your answer in your notes. And if you don't do your part in making sure that the Unity Worship Center is a friendly association, then I'm going to ask you to commit to getting better about doing your part to making us a friendly association. See, because if you're not doing your part to make the church a friendly association that you are connected to, chances are you're not doing your part to make anything that you are connected to a friendly association. It doesn't just happen in church. You don't just come to church and be nasty. You nasty, period. Amen? You don't just come to church and not care. You, for the most part, you probably just don't care, period. Amen? So I want you to commit, to make a commitment to saying, you know what, instead of downing the church, instead of tripping on the church, instead of always being negative about the church and having something slick to say about the church, let me do my part in making the church better. Amen? All right. And watch this. Our fellowship should be easy in being friendly because of what it is that's bringing us together every week. Should be bringing us together every week. And that is a who and a what. Mm-hmm. What's bringing us together every week is a who and a what. Our reason for assembling here every week, sometimes twice a week, should be a who and a what. On the family page, it is stated that we have 52 people. It's probably going to be about 46 later on today because we're going to take about six off air. But 52 people on the page, and we are all on there, are supposed to be there on the strength of the who and the what. Now, let me tell you why we're not all there on that page for the who and the what. Can I just go ahead and make this plain? Because I can make a post that is actually positive, that is encouraging everybody to get in the game with us. You understand what I'm saying to you? And it'll say seen by 48, and four people will comment, six people will hit the like button, and it's always the same six to eight people that hit the like or the love button. It's always the same four people that comment, and everybody else has nothing to say. And the reason that is not because you agreed in silence, or not because you didn't really pay attention to it. You paid attention to it. You pay attention to everything going on around you. The problem is you didn't hit the like or the love or that's had anything to say about all of the comments that's been made all over 7 years of being in this ministry because you don't care. You don't care. And you know how I know you don't care? Because some of you that never hit the like button, the care button, the dislike button, the angry button, the anything button, I go on your personal page and see how much other stuff you like from people that have nothing to do with the church, have nothing to do with the kingdom, don't have a kingdom mentality at all, and you all are in the like status and they stuff. Somebody told me, my sister told me not too long ago when I broke a lunch date, she said to me very, very, very seriously, she said, you make time for what you care about. I've said this before and I'll say it again. Every time you don't hit that like button, you are saying something. And just because you don't hit the angry button don't mean you don't disagree. Every time you don't say anything, you are saying everything. The children's church, the nursery, the youth group, along with every other function of this church, is all existent on the strength of a who and a what. The who is Jesus, and the what should be the kingdom assignment, which is quite simple yet extremely necessary, and that is to win the lost and to propel the saved into the depths of God, into deeper depths of God. Not, watch this, and we don't want you to get saved and get deeper in God so that you can look deep. We want you to get saved and get deeper in God so that you can be deep, so that you can be effective. God is deep, so his disciples should be deep. Not deep trying to be cute, but deep in God, deep in the things of God, deep in the assignment of God, deep in the passion of seeing lives change, deep because God is deep. How can you be closely connected to something and not be like it? Oh, God. You can go to college, graduate, have all A's and not agree with everything that your professor has taught you. But when it comes to kingdom life, Lord have mercy, when it comes to kingdom life, you have to be in alignment, you have to be in agreement with everything that the instructor instructs. How you gonna love somebody you don't agree with? How you gonna serve somebody that you really don't agree with? Lord have mercy. Community, a feeling of fellowship with others as a result of sharing common attitudes, interests, and goals. And I want you to see the wordplay in that definition of community, because we share or should be sharing common attitudes. What's the common attitudes? The common attitudes are the truths in the Word of God. The common attitudes are the truths found in the Word of God. Philippians chapter 2, verse number 5. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Pastors always saying that verse because you ain't got the mind of Jesus yet. You ain't got the mind of Jesus yet. The common attitude that we as a community should be sharing is the attitude of Christ. And the attitude of Christ is found in the Word of God. In fact, there are four Gospels. I'm going to need everybody to get focused. I'm going to need everybody to get focused. There are four Gospels in which are Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that all give sight into the mind of Christ. In fact, Christ himself teaches us his attitude, his thinking, his truths in these gospels. So because of the common attitude that we should be sharing, because even our soul interest should be aligned together as well as, did y'all hear what I said? Your soul interest should be in alignment together. Everything that has to do with the soul, Lord, have mercy. We should all be on the same page. As well as our goals. And what should our goals be? To name a few, our main goal should be to one day hear, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." That should be the main goal. To one day hear, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Lord, have mercy. And one of the other goals should be to compel a dying world to come to Christ. To compel a dying world to come to Christ. See, the way that I believe, and I believe that the Bible is so strong, I believe that the Word is so powerful, that once we begin to sit up under the apostles and we begin to take on the doctrine and we become in alignment with the doctrine to the point to where we ain't just reading it and hearing it, but we are actually wearing the doctrine like clothing, then shouldn't nobody in here ever have to bury somebody in their family, in their friend life, anything, in their co-workers, you understand what I'm saying to you, to overdose, to suicide, to violence, to any of that, domestic violence, gun violence, none of that. Because the Word is so powerful that the Bible says it's transforming. Woo, Lord, have mercy. It's transforming. Do you understand that the Word is transforming? It's so powerful that it literally shifts you from who you were to who he is. The Word transforms. You ever seen the cartoon Transformers? And they just look like regular old things, and they just, you ain't really taken by them, and they don't really catch your attention when you walk by. But when it is that they are backed against the wall and they begin to metamorphosize or transform into these elite working machines of machinery, you understand what I'm saying to you? And that's what the Word does. It takes you from being weak and whiny. It takes you from being broken and disgruntled. It takes you from being discombobulated and depressed. And it makes you somebody powerful. It makes you somebody who's sure of themselves. It makes you somebody who can smile in the midst of your hell, in the midst of your drama, in the midst of your going through. The Word will transform you. The Word will transform your life. You don't have to be Oh God, you don't have to be the you you are now. You don't have to be the you that you used to. Can I take it deeper? You don't have to be the you that you loathe. Now let me tell you why we're doing this sermon series again. This and all of my series have agendas. Every last one of them has an agenda. I know, you know, you hear a lot of pastors say, I ain't got no agenda. I got an agenda. Amen. I got an agenda. Yeah. I got an agenda. But I am convinced that this series could quite easily hold the most importance of all the sermon series that I've ever done. Because this series is purposed, watch this, to align the church. During and after this series, there should be a shifting, a repositioning, and a transformation of the church. Okay? This series is to tell the why we are here, the importance of us being here, and how we are to remain, and not just watch this, survive, but actually thrive here, and how this city gets better because we are here. I want you to understand that the city of Lexington is supposed to be better because we are here. You understand what I'm saying to you? So we're gonna do a little scripture now. I'm gonna go ahead and tell you some of these words. But we're gonna get through it. Amen. The book of Nehemiah, chapter 1, verses 1 through 11, says this. In late autumn of the month of Kislev, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes' reign, was the fortress of Susa. Hanani, and I, one of my brothers, came to visit me with some other men who had just arrived from Judah. Nehemiah is telling us the story. I had asked them about the Jews who had returned there from captivity and about how things were going in Jerusalem. They said to me, things are not going well for those who have returned to the province of Judah. They are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem has been torn down and the gates have been destroyed by fire. And when I heard this, I sat down and I wept. In fact, for days I mourned and fasted and prayed to the God of heaven. Then I said, Oh Lord, God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant of unfailing love with those who love and obey his commands, listen to my prayer. Look down and see me praying night and day for your people of Israel. I confess that we have sinned against you. Yes, even my own family and I have sinned. We have sinned terribly by not obeying the commands, the decrees, and regulations that you gave us through your servant Moses. Please remember what you told your servant Moses. If you are unfaithful to me, I will scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me and obey my commands and live by them, did you hear that? If you return to me and obey my commands, did you hear that? If you return to me and obey my commands and live by them, then even if you were exiled to the ends of the earth, I will bring you back to the place I have chosen for my name to be honored. He said, I need you to understand, I need you to remember what you said. That if we had got out of alignment, if we messed up, if we had dropped the ball, if we had turned our back on you, God, I need you to remember that you said if we turned our backs and our hearts back toward you, that you would accept us back. I need you. I need you to. You ever had that mindset that you had to remind God? You said that if I repented. You said that if I said I'm sorry and I meant it. You said that if I turned my heart back to you, that you would receive me. You would love me. You would honor my decision to come back to you. God, you ever done some stuff so messed up that you feel like you got to remind God that he said if you turn from your wicked ways, he would accept you back? Yeah. Oh, y'all speaking in tongues every day, all day. I've done some things so ratchet. Watch this, since being saved. Lord, have mercy. I know church folk ain't supposed to talk like that, especially the bishop, but I've done some things so ratchet. Lord, have mercy. You understand what I'm saying to you? That I had to sit back and say, Lord, I need forgiveness to be real. Oh, Lord, I need this not to be a game. Lord, I hope you ain't playing, Lord, because, oh, if you ain't for real, oh, if this ain't serious, oh, if this ain't the truth, I'm going to burn. Hallelujah. He says, he goes on to tell God in verse number 10, he says, the people you rescued by your great power and strong hand are your servants. Oh, Lord, please hear my prayer. Listen to the prayers of those of us who delight in honoring you. Please grant me success today by making the king favorable to me. Put it into his heart to be kind to me. And he ends and says, so he wants you to know that his pedigree. He says, in those days, I was the king's cupbearer. Truth be told, in those days, wasn't really nobody more important than me. Because if he was going to take the hit, I took the hit for him. If there was a hit for him through his food, if there was a hit for him through his drink, the hit would hit me before it hit him. In other words, I tested the food before we let the king eat it. I drank of the cup of the king before we let the king drink it. You understand what I'm saying? So in other words, what I want you to understand, Nehemiah wants you to understand, I ain't just somebody, I'm somebody. Yeah. I want you to understand. Unity Worship Center, I'm sad to report that just like in the days of Nehemiah, baby, can you help me? Just like in the days of Nehemiah, the city of Lexington is in ruin. Whew. Yeah, let me say that again. The city of, I'm going to need you to hurry up, girl. I can't read that much. The city of Lexington is in ruin. We are a broken city, and day by day, it seems only to be getting worse. Week after week, we are either burying someone to drug overdose, to senseless gun violence, domestic violence, or we're burying somebody to suicide. Folk ain't getting old no more. Thank you. Folk ain't getting old no more. Amen. To say that it has gotten crazy out here is an understatement. But today, I don't want to stay caught up in the problems of Lexington as much as I want to suggest that though we know there is going to be evil, though we know there are going to be some things that are going to happen from time to time that will shake us to our core, there is still hope, and that hope is in Jesus. Amen. You see how that happened right there? When UK was behind but South Carolina didn't score in the third, and then UK came down and scored a touchdown, and it looked like they might be on their way back. I bet every true UK fan in here lost their mind. But I told you there was hope in Jesus, and four people said, amen. Let me ask you a question. What if there was no hope in Jesus? Or this is a better one. What if Jesus played you like you play him? So, and I say there is hope in Jesus. When I say that, I don't just say it because that's what the preachers are supposed to say. I say it because that's what I believe. But here is also what I believe. Hope in Jesus is good. Faith in Jesus is great. But faith without works is dead. God has called us. God has positioned us to be the people of God, to do something about the city being in ruin. Now, I said something last week, and I don't really think many of you caught it, but I'm going to incorporate it today, and I'm going to incorporate this thing. We get ready to start a ministry here called the X-Men Ministry. because our ministry is filled with a lot of ex-men, you know, ex-drug dealers, ex-drug addicts, ex-alcoholics, ex-strippers, ex-gang members, ex-religious folk. I mean, you name it, we got it. Ex-liars, ex-gamblers. We got a little bit of all of it when it comes to the ex-men. And I don't say this in a braggadocious way, or nor do I say it in a way that's taking shots where any of us used to be in our past, but I say it to sound the alarm in letting those of us connected to this ministry know that you are here for a reason. And I want to say this real quick. It's some of you in here who may not have ever been a part of some of the things that I mentioned, and we praise God for that. But you are an ex-something, and we know that because the book of Romans chapter 3, verse number 23 says, for all have sinned and fall short, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So there is no perfect, or will there be any perfect one except Jesus. So don't you get it twisted. We are all an ex-something. Now, there's some people in here who has walked the walk with God for the most part all of their lives. That doesn't make them perfect, but it does make them focused, and we honor you. You are so important to this ministry. A lot of times I think people who wasn't in the street think that they don't have no place in this ministry. Yes, you do, because you have discipline to teach us. It's important that we find out about that wisdom that's on the inside of you. Those things need to be taught. Everyone in this ministry and on the way, I believe, has been strategically placed here for a strategic plan, a strategic kingdom plan. And if we would just focus ourselves on the things of God just for a moment, we would all see it. Amen. This morning, the Lord showed me a problem. What the problem is, though. And I want you to tune in, because this is deep. This blew my mind. He showed me what the problem was. He showed me why many of you can't get it, can't receive it, don't understand why I keep saying things like God has a plan and you are in it. Many of you wonder, why does he keep saying those things? And the reason that you can't get it, the reason you let some of the things that I say fly over your head and just assume that I'm talking to the person next to you and not you, is because you keep thinking that God sees you the way you see you. Let me say that again. You keep thinking that God sees you the way you see you. And you see you as a mess. You see you as your past. You see you as your mistakes. You see you as your failures. You see you as what they said about you. But I need you to know that God does not see you the way that you see you. In fact, the Bible said in Isaiah 43 and 18, but forget all that, Lord have mercy. It is nothing compared to what I'm going to do. For I am about to do something new. See, I have already begun. Do you not see it? I will make a pathway through the wilderness, and I will create rivers in dry wasteland. I'm about to do something in you. Woo! I'm about to do something in you, but I need you to forget about what you've been. God is saying, I could care less about what you've been through. I could care less about how they feel about you. I could care less about what they say about you. I made you fearfully and wonderfully. I made you in my image. I'm not tripping on your past addictions. I'm not tripping on what you're addicted to now. I'm not tripping on your mistakes or your past. Is it anybody in the building that's just glad to know that if God wants to bless you, if God wants to honor you, if God wants to take you to another level, he don't have to check with your haters. He don't have to check with people that you know. He don't have to check with your family. He can bless you all by himself. Woo! Hallelujah. In fact, the Apostle Paul said in the book of Philippians chapter 1, verse number 6, and New Living Translation, he said, and I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on that day when Jesus Christ returns. I need you to understand, you're going to drop the ball. You're going to mess up. You're going to feel flawed. You're going to go through some things. Sometimes you ain't going to feel worthy. Sometimes you're going to actually be crazy. You understand what I'm saying to you? But ain't you glad that Paul declared, that God said, I can be confident of this one thing, that because I started a work in you, because I spoke destiny over your life, because I said you're the head and not the tail, because I said you're going to live and not die, because I have placed my hand on your life, you ain't got to worry. Woo! Lord, how much? You ain't got to worry about what you used to be. I need you to understand that God loves you. God adores you. God believes you. And you are a part of his plan. Now Satan would have you to believe. Hold on. Satan would have you to believe that our perfect God, our flawless God, our most righteous God would want nothing to do with us after some of the things that we have done or said. That's why when I say you are part of something so much bigger than you, you are a part of a kingdom agenda. You can't receive that because you're still thinking about what you did last year. Truth be told, some of you can't receive it because you're thinking about what you did last night. But I need you to lock into this. Jesus said, for God so loved the world. Did you catch that? Did you catch that? The world. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Not the righteous. Not the holy. Not the tongue speakers. Not the people that run around the building speaking in tongues. Not the ones that's got it all together. He loved the world. He so loved the world that he so loved the felon. He so loved the whoremonger. He so loved the stripper. He so loved the prostitute. He so loved the thief, the robber, the rapist, and the pedophile. I know y'all don't like that, but I'm so glad that you don't get to pick and choose who it is that he forgives and loves. He so loved the world, Lord, have mercy, that he gave his son. What I need you to understand, every one of you that is connected to the Unity Worship Center, and if you just visited, I just go ahead and declare it right now, you ain't just visiting, you're supposed to be here. Amen. I want you to understand that you are a part of his plan. Every day, oh Lord, have mercy, you're a part of his plan. Every day that we spent in jail, every day that we spent in prison, every joker that you laid up with that wasn't your spouse, for every time your heart was broken, for every sexually transmitted disease you caught, for every failure that you suffered, for every time you thought about giving up, for every time you contemplated suicide, for every death you had to deal with, for every stay you had to do in the hospital, for every time you thought you was about to lose your mind, it was going, God said, I'm going to use every bit of it for my plan. For his plan. That's why it didn't kill you. That's why it couldn't overwhelm you. That's why it didn't overtake you. That's why you're still in your right mind. That's why you got use of your limbs. That's why you can still smile. That's why you're able to love. That's why your family's with you. That's why you're still going. That's why it didn't break you. That's why it didn't take you. Because everything that you had to go through was for his plan. I ain't ashamed of the addiction. I ain't ashamed of the prison time. I ain't ashamed of the hell I had to go through. I ain't ashamed of what I used to be embarrassed about. Because I understand now it was all a part of his, a part of the plan. It was a part of the plan. Oh God. Listen to me. Nehemiah gets the report that his people are living in shame. He gets the report that his people are living in shame. He gets the report that his people's in great distress, that their walls of security have been broken down and burned with fire. Oh, Lord. And the news, watch this. I want you to catch this. The news is so overwhelming to Nehemiah that he wept and mourned for many days. Hold on one second. Whew. That he mourned and wept for many days. And what's deep to me is that we know when we hear the word mourn, or that somebody is in mourning, that is usually related to death. But another working definition that I found for mourning said that mourning is to feel regret or sadness about the loss or disappearance of something. Oh, y'all missed that. Mourning is to feel regret or sadness about the loss or disappearance of something. May I suggest that we should be in mourning for our city because of the Lexington that many of us remember and love has disappeared. Oh God, the Lexington that we know is no more, that we knew is no more. Safety of our beautiful city is gone. I remember when you could walk around any part of this town and make it home safely. You understand what I'm saying to you? But you'd be hard pressed to find a street in Lexington that after 11:30, when it gets dark, when ain't nobody else outside, that you safe to walk down the streets on your own. And just like the gates of Jerusalem in the day of Nehemiah, the gates of Lexington has been broken and burned down. And to be quite honest with you, everyone is doing a lot of talking, but they aren't. And there's not many that's actually doing something. And I don't want you to get me wrong. I salute the programs. I'm about to introduce one myself. And I salute prayer vigils and marching through the streets. But until the church is repaired, y'all don't hear me in here. Until watch this. Until the church is repaired. Until the 21st century westernized church has been repaired, until Jesus Christ is preached in every hood and in every suburb and trailer park, until prayer is a major part of the church again, until souls being saved and discipled is a mission number one again, until the house of God is important again, this city of Lexington will stay in ruin. So part two of this series, I want to show you something. Nehemiah is teaching all through it. Nehemiah was so messed up by what he heard about his country that he went into prayer and fasting. Now, I want you to know, some of you may be recording me on your devices, and that's fine. But I'm not doing one segment of this series on Facebook on my public page, because this is personal. Amen. It can be found on our page, but this is personal. I don't mind if you can record me. That's fine. That's cool. But I just want you to know, you ain't got to look on my page. You ain't going to find it there. This is in-house. Lord, have mercy. Oh, God. And some of you might be thinking, well, Pastor, every church can pray and fast. What makes us any different from them? And my answer would be to you, beloved, is that not every church has our experience. Yeah. Every church got a couple felons. Every church got a couple whoremongers. Every church got a couple gossipers. You understand what I'm saying to you? But I'm talking about, if you look around this house right now, even today, you look around, and if anybody know anybody, you go, yeah, we got some serious experience in sin here. Yeah, we know something about some sin up in here. Amen. And so not every church is rocking with the X-Men to the degree that we are. This is strategic, us all being together. That's why, oh Lord, have mercy. My wife told me, as she was talking to a certain a member or disciple or soon to be disciple, I don't know, but she was talking to her, and she told me what she did for other. I said, Jesus. I said, this. What do you say when you, this solidifies us. See, and I want you to understand something. I'm not saying that we ain't gonna ever have all the corporate executives at Toyota and Lextran and Lexmark and all. I'm not saying that we're not gonna have them, but our target audience is what it is. But every now and again, God sends us somebody that solidifies us. Oh God, you missed that. Every now and then, God sends somebody to say, this right here, this name carry weight. This name kind of next level things. Oh, y'all don't hear me helping here. So I'm not surprised. You understand what I'm saying? So now God is saying, well, hold on, get ready, because what I'm about to send you, Lord, have mercy.
And for every 5 to 10 of us that they say, they really, you know, they just work at the Walmart. They just work at the Kentucky Fried Chicken. They just work at, you know, they just work at the, you I almost said Hills. I told my age, didn't I? They just, you know, and I ain't knocking the Walmart or the Kentucky Fried Chicken. I bless God for your ministry because I partake in both much. But what I am telling you, that every now and again, God will send you some people who's got a pedigree, who's got a resume, who's got an education, who's got a name, who's got some weight behind that name to say, yeah, I know what you think about them when you see them, but I rock with them. And folk have to back up.
Hey.
Folk have to say, for real? Folk have to say, for real?
Woo.
You understand what I'm saying to you? Get this. I want you to understand this. That's why we, the Unity Worship Center, has to get it. All in order so that we can see, we got to get this thing together in here so that we can position ourselves for the assignment in which God has for us. And that is to save every lost soul that we come in contact with. Can I just go ahead and say this? He didn't save your life for you to look cute. He didn't spare your life so you could just do you. He spared you so that you could play a part in getting somebody who's just like, who's going through what you went through, so that you can help them get saved too. He has you in the plan. Nehemiah, I'm almost done, I promise. Nehemiah chapter 3. And for the sake of time, I'm not going to read it, but I encourage you to read it in your free time, if for no other reason than to get the point I'm trying to drive home here today, because the task was large. There was a job for everyone to do. God's work is great, requiring many laborers. The problem is today, many believers leave the Lord's work, believe that the Lord's work is just for a few people. They think that the job is of the pastors and the deacons and the people who run with them only. Lord, have mercy. Yesterday, we had a major cleanup day, and 21 people showed up. 21 people. This massive property, and 21 people showed up. But let me say this. I thank God for the 21, because I remember when only 8 would show up. And they were, and 6 of them were women. But 21 for 14,000 square feet, 21 people, that was a lot of work, even on 21 people. So much work that we didn't get it all done. There was still, while we were doing one thing, we was finding other things that needed to be done. As big as this property is, 21 people showed up. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we see how Paul compared individual Christians to members of the human body. Each member is important, having a special function, a function that only they can do. Do you really believe that the Lord's work is just for one or two dedicated people? D.L. Moody confronted this sort of thinking in his day too. However, I believe that it is more common today. Here's what D.L. Moody had to say. He said, a great people have got a false idea about the church. They have got an idea that the church is a place to rest in, to get into a nicely cushioned pew and contribute to the charities, listen to the minister, and do their share to keep the church out of bankruptcy. The idea of work for them, actually work in the church, never enters their minds. Yet the Great Commission has been given to all believers. What ministry are you doing in God's work? End quote. When I first read that, I said to myself, well, at least they had people helping to keep the church out of bankruptcy. Because here at the Unity Worship Center, we fight just to stay open. We fight just to stay open because our people either haven't gotten it yet or our people just don't care. I want to ask you today if you're not a tither. You're a member of this ministry, but you're not a tither. And the truth be told, you really don't put no work in. Is it that you don't get it? Or is it that you don't care? Really want to know. But more importantly, I want you to admit it to yourselves. Is it that you don't get it? Or is it that you don't tell me you don't have it. That's a lie. You venture Burger King too much. You got it. Oh, you got it.
we raised $1,500 in 10 minutes. Oh, you got it. You got it. It's what you're doing with it. My question is, do you not get it or do you not care? When Nehemiah set out to restore the wall, he used 42 different people groups. The Church of Jesus must be organized if it's going to progress. I told Sister Brown yesterday, I said, don't leave, sis. I know I keep on pushing things off. I'm doing it for a reason. I'm trying to get the right formula. I know what I'm doing, I promise. I came back to her a second time and said, look, don't you leave. Don't you get disgruntled. We need you. I know it looks like we don't know what we're doing. It's really not that. It's just we don't have people on the field with us. You ever tried to play ball against the team and you didn't have enough on your side? And you ran and ran and tried to keep up until you could. And then all of a sudden you just passed out. We must work to a plan. We must work with our leaders. Are you following your leaders in this church? Nehemiah could not rebuild the walls alone. As a wise administrator, he enlisted the service of many people. 38 people are named in chapter 3. People with many differing gifts and trades were involved. Jesus Christ is looking for workers to build his church, not advisors. Some pray for others to do what they should be doing themselves. Would we be here if the apostles prayed like that? I got another question. Are you a participator or are you a spectator? Let me take it deeper. And are you a person that neither participates nor even spectates? See, don't say that you don't care when you don't comment. Don't say that you don't care. Don't say that you care when you don't like, dislike, love, something. Don't say that you see the post. It's seriously important, and 48 people out of 52 will see it and say nothing. I'm going to tell you something like this. We're done. Kim, put up our needs, please. I don't want no music. Thank you, but I don't want no music. I don't want nobody to miss this, okay? Here's what we need. And I got this old piece of paper right here. We need 18 people. Now, before the 18 people who do everything, raise your hand. No, you can't. I'll take double dipping on the cleaning crew because the cleaning crew, I ain't preaching. But other than that, we need some willing people to help your team. You understand what I'm saying to you? And if you're not going to help your team, take off the jersey. I used to get excited when we had little crowds like this, right? But what's to be excited when the majority of the crowd ain't giving? The crowd is beautiful, but we not even making budget. The crowd is beautiful, but we deplete $53,000 within a year because people won't do their part. $53,000. We sold part of this property. That's how good God has blessed us. We sold a piece of the property for 53, as my young people say, bands. And we didn't even notice it was gone. And we said, it is on. This is getting ready to bless the house. And within a year, it was depleted because folk wouldn't do that. It was depleted because sometimes I'm in and sometimes I ain't. And even when I'm in, I ain't. Have you seen your church lately? I don't know if you remember the old church. We had two bathrooms. One worked sometimes, and people would leave the altar call because they wanted to make sure they was one of the first five in line. You remember that? Yeah, see, some of y'all remember that. And we came over here, and we got 12 bathrooms.
We had a children's church with 31 kids in it in a room that was so small that if COVID would have hit back then, we couldn't have had church because there would have been no way for us to be safe. Now your children's church has got 6 rooms. Youth room has a suite. And if they need more room, we got it. Nursery got his own bathroom. The nursery. And nobody seems to care at what the Lord has done. It's like we ain't used to nothing. We took better care of the storefront. We can't even get folk to clean the church. So here's what we need. We need 18 people. Now check this out. If you're going to lie to me, don't even sign up. If you're going to be down for 2 weeks and then we ain't going to see, don't even show up and take off the jersey. What are you saying, Pastor? This is how serious it is about what we have to do. We have a city of addicts. We have a city of prostitutes. We have a city of young people who are killing one another. And they're not killing each other. They're killing family members now of who they after. We have no more time to be playing. So if you're not going to help, go play church somewhere else. We're not going to miss you. I'm going to miss seeing your beautiful face, but I'm not going to miss you any other way because you don't do anything. If you're not going to play ball, take off the jersey. Quit claiming team. We have things to do. I did not get delivered. You understand me, Beasley? We did not get delivered from prison. Do you remember riding down Versailles Road and a man just coming out of nowhere, just shooting at us all the way down from Westminster to the Preakness? That's a long time to be getting shot at from every angle. We did not. Do you remember in Carriage Hill? And they think I'm playing, but I'm glad you're here. Remember the 8 bullet holes in my clothes, but not a bullet hole in my body? See, he was there. 8 bullet holes in my clothes, but not a bullet hole in my body. He did not save us from what he saved us for us to be in church doing nothing. I'm sorry, but we got enough churches doing that. We got enough churches lobbying to be on the news and to be seen. We got enough fake programs out here that really ain't doing nothing, just look good and everybody loving it, but ain't nothing happening. So I'm going to tell you what we need. We need 18 people. 18 people begin to strengthen this ministry to where when the visitors walk in here, we show a universal front. We got this together. You can trust your children in our children's church because we got that. You can trust your babies in our nursery because we got that. You can trust your youth in our youth facility because we got that. If you need your medicine at a certain time, all you got to do is let us know because we're going to bring the water at a certain time because you need to be taking that medicine even while you're in service. We got ushers like that. That's what we got. You're going to know of every program, everything that's popping off because we need the people on the media team to be passionate like that. You understand what I'm saying to you? We need people up here every Sunday we can count on that's going to rock the screen so you can sing the songs that you never heard before in your life, but you got the words up there and you can sing along with it. When we get 18 more and everybody committed, 18 committed, not liars, not game players, not you understand, not traitors, not illegal, hypocritical people that's forging their way in the kingdom. I'm talking about real people that want to see real things happen, real change happen in this city. When we get 18 people that say, for to God I live and for God I die, that begins to align the house. Watch this. It positions us to say, now we got these positions solid. Let's get busy. We need 18 people to say, and not only am I coming to help the church, I'm going to pay my tithes, I'm going to give to the offering. Let me tell you something. Burger King wants your money, not the church. We want your soul. We don't want to be mega because, you know, it's got some type of clout to it. We want to be mega because I believe that we are saying things that people need to hear. We ain't scared to say what needs to be said. None of our pastors here, none of our leaders here are scared to say what needs to be said. You understand?